Welcome, welcome to the Mind of Monty podcast with your hosts, Monty G and I, Mo. Today we've got an exciting episode in store for you. We're going to talk about backlash and the backlash of backlash. We're going to go into some wrestling rumors.
Like that one, huh?
And headlines. I did. I'm so clever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Mo's marbles, the usual gambit of things that we talk about on this podcast, right? So let's get started.
Yeah, you mentioned it about the usual gambit. It's funny you say that because this news from New Japan and from one of the biggest stars in New Japan is anything but usual. Like, like this has been crazy. I actually have heard things about this even before we did last week's show. I just was trying to, I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on. Maybe something's getting lost in translation and all that, which, by the way, it's a lot of stuff in this situation is still getting lost in translation. But what we do know is that right now, currently in this past week on social media, Kota Ibushi, the very first, by the way, world heavyweight champion in this company, like this, the belt that Okada is carrying around right now, Kota Ibushi made that possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first ever IWGP World Heavyweight Champion is currently at odds with his bosses in New Japan, at least the way it seems. And he's been completely open about it, straight up tweeting in Japanese his feelings. And, you know, this is a loose translation. I don't want to act like I know everything is accurate here or everything that I could be missing here from these translations. But Ibushi straight up was like, I'll expose about all the former cheaters goon, which in this case is referencing people that you may know if you watch New Japan about Suzuki-gun. And I'll get in more detail exactly who, but Cheaters Goon is a reference to Suzuki-gun, but he's not necessarily talking about Minoru Suzuki here, but he's mentioning the sexually harassing bosses. And from the company's president, lies and his unreasonable power and, you know, harassments at this time. Get prepared for this. He even called out TV Ayashi, which is basically their, you know, the person who distributes New Japan across the world, basically at this point. So he's like we said, going scorched earth here. He's like, he does not care about the result of, or at least, or his standing in the company anymore. He's fed up with the business practices, and it's kind of crazy. I remember us a few years ago on this same show giving him props or congratulating him for signing that lifetime deal. Right? Isn't that something, right? That we literally, I could remember it vividly, us talking about that. But speaking of that deal, apparently the DMs that Ibushi himself posted, or direct messages that hit between him and the bosses that Ibushi himself posted, mm-hmm. part of that was Kikuchi, which is the president, which is a member of the New Japan officials. He was a former member, but he has been brought back. So it's just a lot of weird stuff going on. But this is the guy who's going back and forth with Ibushi here. And he's like, maybe we should end your contract. And Ibushi is like, if I'm told so from New Japan, I can't complain. But I'll get things settled. It's fine if you just fire me. So literally, that is what he shared with the world on his platform, on Twitter, that he has been in those type of talks with people in the company. So, yeah, that's serious. And I want to read this from Cage Side News. The present issue seemed to involve Ibushi's return to action after the shoulder injury he suffered in the G1 Climax final in October. Mm-hmm. It was said to be bad blood going back years between Ibushi and Kikuchi. A longtime New Japan executive who is currently a head of talent relations right now. So that's where he is right now. He's in an important position when it comes to talent, right? He's literally in talent relations. So that's why I guess you can see so much back and forth between these two. But they don't get along, and apparently have not liked each other for years. And apparently they first butted heads back in 2018 over royalties for merch. So this, they've literally not gotten along, according to reports. Kikuchi, I want to say his name right, so if I messed that up, I'm sorry. Left New Japan a year later. Mm-hmm. The management guy left New Japan, allegedly due to royalties issue himself, and a personal matter. But he was brought back in 2020 after Dick Togo gained more prominence when it comes to booking. And, you know, him, Togo, and others are involved in creative, but we all know Gato still gets the final say. But apparently, his old school views of the business, and according to others, they say that sometimes he's selective and unfair. So there you go. That's what people say. But Ibushi believes he is one of the people who have been unfairly targeted. He was prevented from wrestling Shingo at Dominion last year, you know, after his aspirational pneumonia diagnosis. But then he was pressured to return by Wrestle Kingdom mm-hmm. in January while he was still rehabbing his shoulder. Then 2 months later, when he was actually ready to return to the New Japan Cup, where Gato actually planned to have him win. So it was the original plan for this most recent New Japan Cup where we saw Zach win.
That's for Ibushi.
And lose to Okada. That was supposed to be Ibushi's role to who knows what happened, win or lose. But either way it go. They say Kikuchi had him pulled from that show. And they say his justification was a minor concern about Ibushi's health raised by a doctor. So, you know, that sounds valid, I guess, but they do make sure to highlight that it's minor. So I don't know.
I thought he was pulled from the show because I thought it had to do with Tenzan getting hurt, and then he was like, well, it's going to be uneven anyway. I'll just continue to rest.
No, they both the way they sold it to us was that they both were out with injuries. Like, they kind of phrased it as like it was a minor setback for Ibushi. Even though they didn't really ever explicitly say it was one. But I know for a fact, yeah, like you said, Tenzan was injured. But I think I don't necessarily know how much of what they told us over the broadcast was legit.
It's factual.
Yeah, you're finding out. Yeah, yeah, a little bit yeah. else. But besides that, Kikuchi also has allies beyond Dick Togo. Former Noah wrestlers like Kenta is listed, Taiji Ishimori, and Kanemaru. And apparently, Ibushi has legitimate heat with Taka Michinoku and Tai Chi. Those are the cheater goons that he are hot referring to in the tweet, according to reports. So, and he's warning younger wrestlers to avoid those people. Avoid Kenta, Taka, and Kikuchi, Taka, and Taichi, not Kenta. But yeah, matters have come to a head, like they say here. And Ibushi is threatened to expose Kikuchi's extramarital affairs.
Oh God.
So that's the personal matter we brought up that may have contributed to Harold Meiji's decision to fire him in 2019. So he's far from the only person with a negative backstage view. There's reportedly some heat on Ibushi for doing this publicly, though. So, like, you know, even Dave Meltzer, like I said, I'm so surprised that he's not all over this story because he has a lot to say about New Japan all the time. But Dave Meltzer has said that there's more than smoke to this fire. Ibushi has problems with upper management that are significant. Gato is currently just trying to smooth things out. But it's not settled. So it's obviously something going on. And I wanted to mention also that I've seen on forums and other people talking about it that Ibushi has now even brought into he's used a phrase in Japanese for the word Yakuza or, you know, a criminal organization in Japan. So, you know, if you know anything about that, I don't even want to talk about it, honestly, after even just saying the word like that. I don't even really want to talk about it because it's serious. It's really serious. But that's my point. That just shows you how fed up he has to be if he's willing to highlight some of those things. And if you know anything about new Japanese, not even just wrestling, but just promotion in general, like we can go to Pride and MMA. We can just go all across the board with how involved the Yakuza is in a lot of the businesses there. So when you start talking about stuff like that, you're really playing with fire. You're really trying to burn. It's people who saying you'll never be able to work in Japan again just based off the loose comment. And I don't even know. I don't have the original tweet where that was mentioned, I think, has been deleted or removed, which is smart. Get rid of that ASAP. You may have said it, but, like, please get the screenshots out of here, all of that. Like, get rid of it ASAP because I understand you don't want to burn those bridges or do that. But, You know, Ibushi's, you know, people forget this because he looks so young. He's 39 years old. He's a grown ass man. You know, so he only gonna, you know, you don't have the, you know, the patience to take just any old thing. And for him to mention sexual harassment, for him to mention, you know, the exploitive techniques, which have been hinted at in the past by other workers, it's a big deal. And I just wanted to kind of highlight, I am a New Japan fan, even though I have not been doing a great job of keeping up with everything as consistently as I want to. Same thing with AEW. But I definitely want to talk about it because I've seen a lot of people talking about how great the New Japan AEW show sold out and all that. But this story is kind of going under the radar. And this is serious stuff from a guy who's really important. And even if you think he has a future in AEW, you want to see that dream stuff with the Golden Lovers, or you want to see him, you know, fight with Kenny again and all that, or, you know, team up or fight against Kenny again. All of that stuff can be, you know, brought into question of how possible it will be without a working relationship with New Japan.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, how do you work with AEW now and then avoid New Japan? It's going to be tough now that they seem to announce, right, now that they seem to be intertwined more. So, I don't know. It's a very, very confusing situation. I will definitely try to keep you guys updated on what's going on there. But, yeah, when in between stuff being lost in translation and in between it just being a whole bunch of serious stuff is something that I guess I can understand media outlets avoiding. But at the same time, I do think it's just such a big name. And he's doing it publicly. Like, I mean, this is like what would happen if Seth Rollins came out on Twitter today and just started just, you know what I mean? Wailing away at WWE as a structure and as a company and who's running and literally would be bringing up personal DMs between him and Vince or him and, you know, John Laurinaitis, whoever it is. Yeah, maybe Triple H. Yeah, whoever it is in those positions that he's talking to. You know, whoever's over talent relation right now, I think Johnny Ace is in WWE. So, yeah, him literally killing Johnny Ace and saying, Johnny Ace cheated on the Bella Twins, mama, and all that. I'm just talking mess. Don't quote me on anything. I'm just saying, this is literally the equivalent of that. That's if true. Seth Rollins did that, it'll be everywhere.
I can see that.
But, you know, since it's New Japan and, of course, with, like I said, with the translation issues, it's a lot of reasons why it's not like that. But, yeah, we definitely have to discuss that. Now we can get into the nitty-gritty.
Of backlash.
Yeah, let's talk about it. That doing stuff like that will have a backlash. So it will be nice to get into metaphorical pay-per-view version of backlash. We'll see what a premium live event version.
Excuse me, those ramifications will be.
Yeah, we'll get to
that. You and I had a bit of a...
I'm glad we're doing this now because we need to get into, because these picks are fresh on my brain. So I want to talk about these. I want you to highlight just how great you did at picking this show.
I know, I'm fantastic. And all of my motives were completely irrational, but that just shows you that WWE doesn't use.
Yeah, I about to say, yeah, I showed you the rationale, but also it shows that, you know, you just, predicting this crap, I'll never brag on being good at predict. Like, I have to predict that I know what Vince is thinking?
Nah.
Come on, man. That's tough.
It is.
Same thing with Tony. You guys know what I think about Tony. Sniff, sniff. Anyway, go ahead. I need to stop. I'm sorry. I swear, if he listens to this show, I would never get a job with AEW if they ever hear a leak of the stuff I say. About Tony, but
you're guilty just by association at this point. We started off the show with Cody versus Seth. You chose Cody, the Codester. I chose Seth Rollins. I am quite disappointed.
Cody never lets you down, especially, you know, he don't let the brothers down. He going viral online for being an activist. You seen that picture of him and Martin?
Martin who?
He was behind Martin and Mel.
I just want to know when this started. When did this start?
I don't know when he became the civil rights leader, Cody Rhodes. I have no clue. But I love every second of it. I just love it. And I love that they said John Cena saw it and was like, And he started following a bunch of people on Black Twitter. I love it.
His quotes Black have wrestling become Twitter. Increasingly more inspirational on Twitter now.
He's the inspirational icon, man. By the way, I just thought about it. John Cena is definitely coming back to fight Cody at one point.
Whoop that trick.
We can see it now.
Whoop that trick.
Can we see it? I can definitely see it. Now, who going to be the heel?
John.
We'll worry about that later. I think that's exactly what you need to do. Turn John heel in this situation. Either way it goes, that's only up to John.
Whenever
he decides to come back.
His bottle blonde hair.
Yeah, it's going to be great. That would be great. But to get to this, it's this personal. Was just great. You know, this two of the best in the world when it comes to Seth and Cody. They were just hitting on all cylinders. Cody's debut at WrestleMania is special. It's a moment I'll never forget. It's a moment I think fans should never forget. But this match was even better, you know, and that's the theme of this show. You know, they did a lot of rematches. I guess that's why they call it WrestleMania Backlash, because it basically was mostly the same card other than a couple of differences. But they did a really good job. If you're going to do that, if you're going to book a show full of rematches, and I'm just saying it now because I was going to say it later, but if you're just going to book a show like this, then they better be better than the original match.
Yeah.
And I thought Cody himself set that tone.
You're supposed to hype it up because you know some of these are going to have a three-peat. So you have to – this backlash when it's supposed to keep you interested in the feud.
Yeah.
Plus
that finish set up the continuation of this feud perfectly. You know, so I don't have a problem with it. It almost literally pretty much set it up perfectly for what I said was going to happen, which was Seth losing, and then he goes crazy and on Cody. And I think the way he lost this match, perfect setup for him to lose his you-know-what. So
yeah. His mind. Then we got Lashley versus Omos. You and I both decided that Omos was going to win because MVP was out there. You know you can't trust him to keep his hands to himself, so...
Yeah, and literally he was the difference. I thought the match itself was solid. And, you know, it again, better than what they did the first time. And MVP added, like you said, that much-needed element. He added the heat. You know, his interferences had the crowd going crazy for Bobby towards the end there. So I thought this was cool, and I don't think it's over. So, yeah, this was cool. And going forward, I think – when Bobby finally gets his hand on MVP, it'll be cathartic.
I agree. Then we've got Edge versus Styles. I chose Edge because, of course, you chose AJ because you're like...
I need to give up. But I swear I'm probably going to have to predict this one more time. And the time I choose, the time I'll be like, you know what? I'm done with you, AJ. And AJ will figure it out. You may be right, but the thing is... It's only one way that you can save AJ's life or AJ's face, in my opinion, in this way. And I'll get to it. But at this point, I mentioned this. I told you. Why did I tell you I was picking AJ? Because I said, it's bullying at this point.
Yeah.
I said, it is bullying at this point.
And it is.
And I said, I guess at this point, it is bullying. That's literally what I wrote. I was like, you know, I mentioned it. I was wrong about them putting off the new member. I have no problem saying that. You know, I should have known once AJ specifically tried to bar Priest that something else was coming.
Didn't he still find his way out there?
Yeah, but he didn't come to the ringside. He was really clever with it. He stood right at the ramp. He was like, I'm not at ringside. I'm not. Yeah.
Semantics.
But then that's when Finn came out, which I said predict. Okay, yeah, Finn gonna handle it. But I didn't, you know, of course, that's the perfect time to debut the new member.
Yes.
After the distraction of pulling Finn away. So, yeah. It went perfectly. It was perfectly executed. So, once again, I have no problem with being wrong here. But, you know, I think the logical blow-off, though, the logical way you end this, and the only way I think AJ even has a chance going forward is if you lock him. I think, isn't Hell in a Cell next?
I think it is, yeah.
If Hell in a Cell is next, then this is the feud for it. He needs to find a way to relic. But Hell in a Cell is no DQ. That's the thing. So maybe Cage, but even in them situations, you have to like guarantee that these people can't come. So that's the only way I can see it paying off in the babyface actually even having a chance to win here. Like I don't necessarily know if AJ can win without doing some stipulation in mind to help him, because without it at this point, it's just been a slaughter. But this was executed. The match was great. I thought it was incredible. I didn't mind. And then AJ not tapping out and just going out cold. It was well done. That just, again, lets you know that this is going to keep going. And I love the fit of Rhea Ripley in Judgment Day. I think it just makes too much sense. That's probably why I didn't think it was gonna happen yet. Cause it just makes too much sense. They wouldn't do it this soon, right? But you know, they did it, and I have no problem with it. This was, you know, once again, better than Mania, and this was really, really good stuff all around. And I'm really happy for Rhea Ripley, because if you know her like I know her, especially from my time in NXT, she's great as a babyface. But I swear, she will be a great foil
so
for
much
anybody.
Better.
Can be the one of the strongest heel characters, you know, ever going forward.
Yes.
if presented the right way.
And
she's really good at it.
And not just as like a petty bully type character, you know, where they love to portray women as, but as a legitimate badass.
Like,
just
badass, like a monster. Yeah,
yes,
beast.
She is really good at
like
that.
The Nightmare. Like, it's just so far in her main roster, the Nightmare has just been a name. But they really can turn that into something for her. Like,
yes,
with this new darker aesthetic. She can really be a nightmare to deal with in the women's division.
All right, so next up is Ronda versus Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
We both knew that Ronda was going to pick up the victory. No way was she losing.
No way she was
on Mother's Day.
Nope.
Just want to say it's so unfortunate to hear that my girl Charlotte got injured or is taking some time away from wrestling at this moment. I'm going to miss you, queen.
I do think this is perfect. Someone needs to take that mantle and be, like I just mentioned, Rhea Ripley would never be the biggest heel in the business if Charlotte is always here.
That's true.
You know, so it's time for her to step out the way for a while, you know, and then when she comes back, it'll be fresh and it won't, you know, won't be a big deal. But the match, this was great. I expected a great brawl, because I think that's Charlotte and Ronda's love language at this point. Like, they love brawling with each other. So
they do.
You know, and they did a really good job, you know, and not only was it Mother's Day, Michael Cole mentioned this would be the first time in Ronda Rousey's career that she would be SmackDown Women's Champion, as if the blue or red label means that much. But, you know, that is true. It would have been her first reign, so I'm like, oh, yeah, no way she's losing, right? They found something she's never done, so they got to, you know what I mean? They got to do that.
It's a lot that she's never done.
I agree, but that's my point. That's why I'm saying, of course she's going to go over here, because it's a lot she's never done. Well, we got to – gotta up those accomplishments for old Ronda.
And they didn't say that at WrestleMania either, so.
Exactly. I don't even know if they ever mentioned it for the bill of the WrestleMania. But what I must say, like my guy Carmelo Hayes, Charlotte don't miss. She don't miss in big matches, especially. And so this was fun. And even with the result never really being in question, it was still a great job by both ladies, in my opinion. And I must say, they have done a really good job, Ronda and Charlotte, of making those builds feel obsolete when the matches come out. The two matches they've had have been way better than both of the builds up to those matches. And, you know, that's not necessarily their fault, but that's my point. Like, they still found a way to deliver solid stuff. So, yeah, this was cool. Way better than both builds.
All right. Next up is Corbin versus Madcap Moss. I chose Madcap Moss because, of course, he's a babyface, right? And you chose Baron Corbin. And you were wrong.
Yeah, because every other time, anytime you don't bet on Corbin, that's when they give him the win. That's literally when they do it. And I just thought it'd be a perfect time to foil Madcap a little bit, but I have no problem with it. It makes logical sense that he won that match. And as far as Corbin losing, he lost to a roll-up. The only problem I really have to this match is that it was not needed on this card at all. Or if you're going to do it on the pre-show. Like, this was the definition of something that could have just been on Monday or Friday. It's literally the definition of it. It's just a normal match.
It's filler.
That's exactly what it was. It accomplished that goal of filling time, so I'm fine with it. But, yeah, Madcap winning now, whatever. You know, I actually wasn't too sure when I was even predicting that, because I didn't really care either way. But I just figured the way WWE likes the book, especially Corbin, they love to have Corbin ruining people that people start to like. So I just... But I guess it's too predictable here, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Drew and Orton versus
the
Bloodline. Yes, they had a non-title match as the main event.
A six-man tag match at that.
With all of those champions right there.
Yeah, but this was insanely fun. I mean, look at who's involved, first of all. So, of course, I thought this was going to be great. But they made sure that they were going to give it all they had, because Like, I wrote down, it's rare that you're going to get a six-man main event with no title. You know, nothing like that. It's rare that that's going to be main event in a premium special. So, the story they told was great. You know what I'm saying? And this match was just pure fun. I love – the only – if I have any bad thing to say about it is that maybe Drew McIntyre didn't get a chance to shine as much as you would want him to if he's going to be the guy that's next to fight Roman, even though he did have his moments. The crowd was hotter for Orton than anybody. And and they love booing Roman. Like, Roman, oh, my goodness, the way, you know, of course, they're just great. It's Roman at this point. He's on another level, and I think he showed it once again. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Bloodline was the better team. Of course, it makes sense. They're family. Roman's dominance overall, you know, he's pretty much towards the end now single-handedly took out RK-Bro. You know, he speared Riddle for the win, and he took out Randy Orton with a Superman punch. And then he gave Drew McIntyre a uranage through a table. So, like, if you think about how that match concluded with Roman standing tall and them getting out of there with the victory, Roman, once again, is on top. So, it's like, all right, is Drew next? You know, are they sure about Drew? You know, it really makes you wonder. I am excited because throughout the match, Roman was a little apprehensive. He didn't want to fight Drew. He was afraid at first. Oh. And I love that. I love the fact that, you know, at the end of that he kind of was intimidated there because Roman has been dominant. He hasn't been intimidated by anyone for a long time. So when you have that element, you know, to the match and you have those little things, I thought those were great touches to make Drew seem like a legitimate threat. But is he the guy going forward to challenge Roman Reigns? Roman is so untouchable now that even great people like my guy Shinsuke Nakamura, I don't believe he has a shot in hell. Even Drew, I don't necessarily know anymore if he has a shot. But some of my rumors that I may get into later, you know, some of my rumors I'm getting into now, since I see you just changed the docket on me. Come on, bro. Like, you can't do that mid-show. What is the point of pre-production?
Okay.
We don't do nothing right around here, people. Anyway, despite his first promo Saturday night and the fact that WWE expects Roman Reigns to start landing movie roles so he will need time off as a result, Fightful Select sources say that they don't expect him to leave anytime soon. He's heavily featured in creative plans for the foreseeable future. So there you go. But at the same time, I still don't know. This is what they claim. This is what WWE's saying. WWE's saying we're good. Roman's going to be here. So there you go. All those people who thought the promo Saturday meant something, and for all the people who are saying, you know, whatever is coming, is coming, WWE does not believe that. All right, the next rumor came off as disrespectful to me, but it might not be. WWE has set up something between Reigns and Shinsuke Nakamura, but Ringside News sources tell them the match isn't seen as a stadium-worthy show. So, a stadium show. It's not seen as stadium show words. It's just there for us to use for Roman when we need it. That was the part that came off. It's like, oh my God. That's like, wow.
Very disrespectful.
So they just let you know right there what I just mentioned earlier about Shinsuke having a chance to win. Like I said, no chance. In an item about Bray Wyatt's high asking price, Wrestling Observer Newsletter notes Wyatt was believed to be the third or fourth highest paid performer on the WWE roster when he was making $4 million per year. And he was cut, and it was at the time he was cut, he was a major merchandise draw also. So that's what goes into his high asking price. Makes sense to me. I ain't got no problem with that. Make your money.
Yeah, y'all fired him.
I don't care how much you love AEW. I ain't got to take no pay cut. If I was making $4 million, I'm going to try to see if I can work out another $4 million deal. What you mean?
Exactly.
At least. Then he just got a fresh baby?
And you fired me because I cost too much. Of course I'm going to ask for my money.
Come on, man.
That's how I know you really want me back.
Regarding AEW talent on stardom shows, Wrestling Observer reports that Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa aren't at the top of the Japanese promotion wish list. The ones stardom really want are Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter, Hikaru Shida, and Ty Conti. They actually fit really well from a wrestling style standpoint. Okay. That last part was for me. Everyone they just listed makes a lot of sense from what I know about Joshi wrestling. But that doesn't mean Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa can't wrestle them styles either. But it actually makes sense why they would point out them.
Those specifically.
True.
They don't
think about how they work.
They don't just want names. They want people that's going to fit their aesthetic and actually be a use to the company.
Yeah. And they want people who they who knows? Maybe the workers at Stardom have something to do with this. list. Also, like, who are you interested in working with? Yeah, who are you interested in working with? Mia Yim's weekend appearance for Impact wasn't a one-shot deal. Fightful says she signed with the company. For some reason, WWE added shots of a 2012 crowd reacting to John Cena's return as Dr. Thugonomics to WrestleMania Backlash's video package on Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin feud. It was also Brock Lesnar was featured in an old clip, and he tweeted about that odd edit. So yeah, that was the clip I did see of the guy who gets really excited when Brock Lesnar's music hit. He went viral for that, and yeah, he saw him in this clip for this feud, and he was like, "What's going on?" So yeah, there you go. I have no clue why they did that, but that's there you go. That's
sounds like somebody's gonna get fired.
Maybe, but I don't know. It's an editing mistake. I don't think they probably deserve it, but yeah. Molly Holly produced Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair's match at WrestleMania Backlash, and positive reviews for that has led to people pointing out the positive impact the Hall of Fame has had on the women's division since she was hired last year. 100%. She's a genius. Everyone loves Molly, and if she was the agent for that match, she did an awesome job of telling the story. You know, having Charlotte go over the edge at the end there and be like, "Happy Mother's Day," and then Ronda like, "Oh yeah, okay, now I'm breaking your arm. It's over." So yeah, to kind of have that story being told there and making Charlotte out to be that evil like woman who hates the women who has kids, it's just genius.
Baby haters over here.
Doing that for heat is just a really smart move. I love it. Dave Meltzer said that even if Tony Khan wanted to do the Owen Hart tournament with a round robin format similar to the G1 Climax, AEW never had the TV time necessary to do that and build other matches for pay-per-view. I don't even know why you're talking about that. That's obvious. Like, have you seen a G1 Climax? Those shows are 3 hours and 30 minutes if you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what...
When the full roster was going at it.
Yeah.
And then maybe if you split up... Yeah, maybe if you split up a block, you can get stuff done in 2 hours and 30 minutes. But yeah, that's about the range. You got 2 hours and 30 minutes and 3 hours and 30 minutes. And both of those options are too long for AEW television.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Bryan Danielson wants to wrestle for a Seattle-based independent Defy. For the Seattle-based wrestling company, Defy. But we'll Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports that AEW wants Danielson's first appearance in his home market to be when they debut there, even though they don't currently have a West Coast date planned after their Southern California shows in early June. So they're basically, I guess that means
they're holding him hostage.
They're making him wait on that because they don't want him to debut at that independent show.
That's just so
Bryan Danielson has talked about it. A lot, by the way, at least from what I've been hearing from all the news and rumors and all that, he wants to wrestle everywhere. He has not been, he's not hidden that he couldn't wait for the Japanese borders and all that stuff to open because he wants to fight everywhere.
And everyone, to be honest.
Everywhere and everyone, yeah. Mia Yim's contract with Impact is only for 6 months per Fightful, but both sides are open to restructuring if things go well. So, good luck to Mia. It was great to see her back out there doing her thing.
No more long-term contracts.
Yeah, doing what she's good at, man. And I have no problem with it. She was with Impact before, so, she has more... She has experience in dealing with them, so she knows what's best for her in her career. PW Insider says there has been talk of adding a fourth member to the Judgment Day, and I think that's necessary. I don't think... I think you need someone else. You need one more guy. If you want to, it'd be weird if it'd be another woman and just the two guys. I guess that would be the first time I've ever seen a faction where it was two guys and two girls. Maybe it's another one out there. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in the annals of wrestling where that worked out. But that's rare. So it's probably going to be another guy. Who is that guy? Who is a floundering babyface is the only person I can think of right now. And who fits their aesthetic? So, yeah. I don't have a problem with another member in Judgment Day. I do think another person is necessary because, most great factions have something where you got two people who would be considered a good team. Mm-hmm. Then you have another person that's another mid-card or another champion. So maybe if you want Rhea to go after the Raw Women's title, you go Edge to go after the World title. Now you still have two people to go after the Raw tag. Or if you want to mix it up, they could still, they can end up with all the gold if they wanted to. It's kind of like in a similar fashion with the blood. Now, you need two people, I think. You need someone to bump. Jimmy has been the bump guy for the bloodline.
Yes.
Jimmy has taken most of the ass whoopings. Like, Jay has been protected a little bit less. I mean, Jay is nowhere near as like great or as he was when he was fighting Roman. But he's still obviously the right-hand man. I can tell the way they work their matches. And then Jimmy is the one who takes a lot of the abuse in their faction. And that's what I mean. So I say I can definitely understand them getting another guy. For what it's worth, Sean Ross Sapp noted he had WWE sources who said Roman Reigns was factored into plans before word of his not being advertised for 2 months came out. Piggybacking on that, Andrew Zarian says he has someone at WWE telling him Roman Reigns isn't actually expected to take time off from TV. He'll just miss those smaller house shows. So that's why he wasn't promoted. So, again, all the uncertainty seems to be around the fact that he wasn't advertised for a few months. That had no bearing on whether or not he would be on television or whether he would be prominent. I knew it didn't make sense because why would you give him the double belts if you guys weren't sure how much he would be there? Why would you even do it?
Exactly. Right? Like, you got to have long-term plans for people when you decide to give them or to merge titles in general. Like, you can't just like, I'm going to give you this title and then I won't see you in 3 months. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, makes no sense. Based on feedback, it looks like WWE may be looking into doing another season of WWE Evil. So they've been giving out polls and asking who you want to see. So Nick, so using surveys, it sounds like they've decided to bring it back. I haven't watched an episode of it yet, but it looks like it's done in a nice way. It's a nice documentary style type of way. So I have no problem with it. I'll definitely have to catch up, but at this point, the list of things I have to catch up on. Mm-hmm. Is like the list of 1,000 holes that Jericho had in WCW. it's one of those lists.
It just keeps going.
It never stops. Corey Graves told WrestleTalk he's got some interest in a different role than WWE. So, than just doing commentary. So he wants to do other. It's another role he has interest in. So we'll see what that is.
I think we already knew that.
We definitely knew about him wanting to come back to wrestling. I don't know. He talked about this like, that wasn't the role in particular. It's not wrestling, so I don't know. Okay. But we'll see. Maybe it is wrestling, and that's what he means. But it's not really clear on the future of Corey Graves. We'll keep an eye out. WWE still plans to do an Usos versus RK-Bro match. But as of right now, they do not plan to unify the Raw and SmackDown tag titles. So there you go. What's the point of this feud? It has nothing to do with the belts, I'll tell you that. There's speculation from WrestlingNews.co and elsewhere, the WWE is returning to their plan to split Randy Orton and Riddle. I think it's obvious. The thing is, Randy is so over as a babyface, and I just don't see them making Riddle the bad guy, right? Like, Riddle, it'd be a nice change to see him like that, but Riddle turn on somebody before Randy, dude? Yes. That's tough. That's a tough thing to convince me
of. Has he been playing dumb the whole time?
For the most part, he has been playing. I guess that would be the only way to explain it. You would have to say he's been playing dumb. But I will say in this way that the fact that he is so over as a babyface might be the reason why. Like, people are loving Randy that much. They see he's having that much fun that I think they feel like it'll be the perfect time for him to just turn. Mm. But the thing is, I feel like if it makes too much sense, people will be happy and still cheer for Randy.
Yeah,
because we know Randy at this point. Like, how do you feel sympathy for Riddle?
I will never.
They have to execute it in a certain way to get that sympathy. Because the only reason why I have to say this is because everybody throughout this entire team has been telling him, "Don't trust Randy."
Yes,
again. So it's like again.
No, you knew.
Even though Randy's been calling him his friend for a while,
you knew what horse you were hitching your wagon to. He has shown you time and time again that he is not a tag team wrestler and he does not have friends. So if you, sir, decide that you want to take that leap, I have no sympathy for you. I will laugh at you as you get RKO'd repeatedly.
Yeah. And here we go, by the way, in the next line of them once again saying that someone has priced themselves out. Several promoters tell Fightful Select they've reached out to Cesaro with offers to do everything from autograph signings to matches, but none have been accepted so far. Some told the site the former WWE superstars priced himself out of the independent market. And again, I was like, what the hell do you want from him? Why would he take less money?
He has a coffee business that he just got. He just like
promoted. Why would anyone take less money when they don't have to?
He doesn't need this.
And by the way, I don't think he fit their aesthetic, but if you need a new member who I think would be useful as hell in Judgment Day, throw Cesaro and make him be all dark and like, yeah, and gothic. I ain't never seen a gothic Cesaro. That'd be weird, wow, wouldn't it? But I'm just saying, he's too valuable to not do anything. But again, I understand. Hey, man, don't bring your price down, Cesaro. Forget them people. You know what I wanted to say. I don't care. They'll be all right. They asking for your time. You don't budge on your price, brother. That's all I got to say. Exactly. They asking for you to take bumps.
Stick up for yourself.
Don't budge on their price. Bray, Cesaro. If they can't afford you, they can't afford you. It's that simple.
Period.
Dave Meltzer wrote on L4W Online. By the way, you see how much Meltzer is in these rumors? None of this got to do with Kota Ibushi. That's what I was talking about earlier. he has a lot to say about everything else right now. But on the board, AEW will be getting a big push at the upfronts. Warner Bros. Discovery promoting AEW shows to advertisers would be a good sign that they're a newly merged company and is planning to stay in the wrestling business. So, according to Meltzer, things are good. But if you're looking to worry about AEW's television future, Deadline reports that Brett Weitz, I don't know how to say his name, is out as general manager of TNT, TBS, and True TV. And had a hand in launching Rampage and Battle of the Belts when he was running the so-called T-Nets. I don't know who called it that, but there you go. I don't know who called it that, but there you go. So, Wrestle Observer Radio, once again, Meltzer mentioned that AEW will be doing a Blood and Guts match soon. He said most likely it will feature Jericho Appreciation Society against Moxley, Bryan Danielson, Santana, Eddie Kingston, and Ortiz. Now, how the hell the Black Food Club going to get into it? Maybe the end of May is coming up. But yeah, that sounds great if it is. That probably would be something that makes sense. If they're going to do that with those guys involved, it would probably be good fun. While discussing Roman Reigns' part-time schedule, Meltzer said the success of WrestleMania 38 Night 1 helped convince WWE they don't necessarily need the top men's title to be heavily featured. WWE also doesn't feel an urgency to book the champion on pay-per-view events like Hell in a Cell because the Peacock money is guaranteed regardless of the card. Oh, my goodness, man. He just talking about this like they don't care about nothing anymore. Anyway, I get it. I agree that they don't necessarily have to go main event. Or, like, I agree that the male title, world title, does not have to be the main event of their pay-per-view. Like, they can now start to lean more, okay, Bianca versus blah, blah, blah is the main event. You know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever. And Ronda, that's probably more for Ronda now that I think about who it is. But again, who is the main event for Ronda? Like, who else on SmackDown are you finna watch Ronda fight in the last match and be like, you know what, that was a good last match? Raquel? We gonna rush Raquel?
Bayley.
They better bring Bayley back ASAP. It'd have to be something like that. And that's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible and whatever, but like you just mentioned, one name. The problem is there's more than one premium live event. So it's like, all right, keep going? But again, maybe they can alternate, do other things. Like sometimes with Ronda, next pay-per-view if you don't want to do Roman here, do Bianca. But you know, we know SummerSlam Survivor Series. We know Roman will be last there, most likely.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. But everyone has something to say about this part-time schedule that Roman is on. Even though we also have other rumors saying he won't be that part-time. So I don't know what the hell going on.
No one knows.
Yeah, and then it's like back to your question. You asked me, like, why are they not merging the tag titles? I don't know. Nothing makes sense.
They don't have a tag division. The Viking Raiders went back to NXT.
But that's all the more reason to merge.
I know.
Yeah, okay, you're agreeing. Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's all the more reason to merge. But anyway, Brian Alvarez heard from multiple people well connected. Oh, Brian Alvarez will talk about it. Thank you, Brian. I actually have to say something positive about Mr. Alvarez. Can you believe it? Anyway, Brian Alvarez heard from multiple people well connected in Japan that Kota Ibushi has burned his bridges, not only with New Japan, but the entire pro wrestling industry in Japan. And I basically hinted at that in the opening of this show, that when you bring up that organization and when you bring up the things that he's bringing up, and you do it all on your Twitter for all of us to see.
The world.
Even his idol and the guy who I thought loves him professional wrestling-wise, like Tanahashi. I know Tanahashi is like, what the hell are you thinking, Coda? You don't do that.
Tanahashi keeping his mouth closed. He was talking about how he just got on a plane earlier. I was like, oh, okay, so you just not going to engage.
Tana don't want nothing to do with that. Because Tana has been raving that flag for years. The last thing Tana would do is any problems he had, he would not bring it public. I know that much. If he had a problem with people, he ain't doing it like that.
Not at all.
But that's how I know. Coda is fed up. He's the definition of done with these people. I don't know if this means we'll be seeing more Coda on this side of the state, like this side of the world, because of what he's did to himself in Japan and pro wrestling. We don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that, you know, for years they have reported for a while that Kota Ibushi is a weird guy. I've seen all types of stuff that people say about Kota Ibushi. And I always wonder, like, where the hell all this come from? He's so good. Where the hell does all this weirdo stuff come from? Just because he says stuff that other people would never say and do things. But that is why he's willing to buck the entire system. And if the people in DDT are right, he's done this before where he's like, all right, I have a problem with something. I'm going to let you know. I'm not just going to, you know what I mean? And I respect the energy, but we have to be honest. It don't take much to burn them bridges.
Nope.
And when we say burn, we mean they're gone. It's not, you know, this ain't, you know. So, yeah, this is like I said, serious stuff. And I'm glad my rumors touched on it. Layla Hirsch, knee injury from last month on AEW Dark. Regarding that injury, is belief among talents that she tore her ACL and or MCL. So either way it goes, she's going to be out for a while. That sucks. I hate to hear that. Layla is cool.
She was just hitting her heel stride.
Yep, she was just getting started. And last but not least, Chris Jericho has recently filed for trademarks Chris Jericho has recently filed for trademarks on the terms The Wizard and The Watch. And yes, that is true, because he wrestled someone on Dynamite and they literally said blank versus The Wizard Chris Jericho. So that's his new thing. You know, he has more things than anybody. Just in the last, just since 2019.
Yeah.
Demo God, Le Champion, The Wizard now. Sports entertain. I could go. The pain maker. Like, we could go forever. No one defines themselves more than Chris Jericho. But yeah, there you go. The Wizard. Have no clue what is a reference to or what does it even matter, but that's his new thing.
The Wizard of Oz?
I don't know what they got to do with showing appreciation to Jericho.
I don't know. I don't either.
I don't know. But maybe it's an explanation from a promo that I just haven't watched because I haven't been watching AEW.
Ratings
Wizard. I'm pretty sure I'll get it explained before I don't get it explained. It'll make sense, I guess. I'm going off all his other names. All his other names made sense in hindsight. So maybe I just got to watch the promo where he coined it, because that's usually how he does it. Anyway, those are the rumors for today.
All right. Those are some good rumors. Nice, juicy details. Well, we also delve into music on this podcast. So let's... What released today? It was a bunch of things. But
I can't believe you asked it.
Most importantly, it
wasn't a bunch of things. By the way,
it wasn't.
Name somebody else who released. By the way, I saw one other artist trending for releasing something tonight, and it was just hilarious because most people were like, I know you don't think we're gonna listen to Tory Lanez when Kendrick Lamar dropped
Florence and the Machine. Just me, okay.
All right, thank you. Okay, cool. You don't like one song by them, and you up here suggesting all of that, all them to come back and stuff. But anyway, she's talking about Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I just wanted to give off my first reaction, and I really don't have much to say other than I'm in love with this project. You know, just off the first listen, I was like, okay, I'm adding this, I'm adding that. I try to go track by track and see, what should I add to my library? And it was easy, you know, because the first 10, in my opinion, was just 100% out of this world, nice, just good stuff. Really, really good. I like I said, 10 out of 10, literally. That's when I texted my friends and was like, yeah, y'all got to check this out. Because not only was it good quality and, you know, in my opinion, it's just the message and the stuff that he's saying. The messages all throughout the project was great. So before I even finished the second project, and I'm still like, I only had like a couple more tracks to listen to on the second project. I got all the way down to track 7 on that one. So it was just incredible, you know, with everything I've been through personally also. And all the doubt and he talked about therapy. He made songs about, you know, his daddy issues. The song about his aunt is just incredible. I just love the way Auntie's Diaries. Oh my God, I love the message and what he was saying in that song. I could go down the list. I want to do a more thorough type of thing. I don't want to necessarily guarantee that we will do a review on this album next week, but I will definitely work towards doing a track by track type of review, because Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers is just awesome to me. I heard people saying give this album some time, sit with it before you say it's in his bit, like it's part of his great discography. But honestly, since To Pimp a Butterfly to me, and before that, I loved Kendrick. To Pimp a Butterfly is when he was pretty much my GOAT, and since then, even without the crazy input, he even mentioned that he had writer's block for years. And you can tell because he had a lot of stuff, in my opinion, he had to get off his chest. And a lot of things that I love the way he decided to express it. I'm not one of these guys who ride the hype. I liked him since Section 80. And that's basically kind of riding the hype, because he's been around a long time, since the KDOT days. So, you know, for Kendrick to still be this good, to still command that type of attention when his music hits, and for him to still just have a pulse on the way I consume things and me wanting to listen to him. You know, I understand if you like Cole better, you think Cole raps better or whatever. And I like J. Cole. I understand if you like Drake. Drake has all the accolades in the world, but Kendrick Lamar is just different to me. It's almost spiritual when I listen to him. And some of the stuff he has to say. And I understand that music is subjective. That's why I want you guys to have whatever opinions you have. It's some people who never fuck with Kendrick. And I'm not saying that this album is going to make you do that. But if you love Kendrick like I have, and you have no problem with being honest with yourself, because some people can hear some of the stuff he say on this album and have a problem with that and just be like, nah, he tripping on this one, blah, 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 blah. But he really is speaking on stuff that I think people that understand our culture and understand Kendrick would appreciate. And I think he did a really good job with this album. The whole show next week will be about this album, if things go the way I want to do. But of course, I want to talk about a lot of other stuff also, so this may end up being a blog. I don't know. Either way it goes, I am going to do all 18 track review. I guess 16, because two of them are interludes. But I told you, I even like that. I even like what Kodak was saying in the kind of like free form type of poem type of way he was reading off what he was saying. And the same thing goes with what Baby King was going on and through his interlude. So far, I love everything about it. And this is just my first reaction. So if I could just keep talking about it right now off this, just imagine what I'll do when I sit with it a little longer. So I love it. I love it. And this is just great. This is great stuff. I'm going to let you do your thing. You didn't get a chance to check much of it out.
Oh,
you heard a little bit, but.
Yeah, I heard a smidge.
But yeah, I'll let you sit with it more, and maybe we can go back and forth a little bit as time go on about it. But I love it. It's a great album. Please check it out.
All right. I concur. And we'll discuss further later. So next up is, I guess, my time to shine, my segment of this whole podcast that, you know, you've all been waiting for, right? It's time for Mo's Marbles. So I have to say, I don't remember what day it was, but Tomorrow Together, or TXT, Text, released a new album. They made a comeback, had some videos. Now, I have not been the biggest Text fan at all, ever. Ever, really. But there's something about, and I told you this, Monty, there is something about when people get in their dark, heartbroken, bad boy bag. And
these are not bad boys, though. Like, I'm going to push
good,
back.
Good boy gone bad, babe.
Exactly. That's exactly what they are. But they, like, I promise y'all, they're not so bad. They're
so edgy.
They soft. They're giving like, this me. Is, they're doing this for direction. Or what happened was, and what it sounded like lyrically, what happened, one of them got broke up with, so they changed the whole direction of the band.
Yes, because they were so happy and fluffy before this. But what I will say is, I love the new aesthetic.
Soft as putty.
I love the new aesthetic. I love the darker theme of the video. They were looking like Edward Scissorhands for a minute, but it's fine. We got over that. And I ended up going to the album. I like 3 songs off of the 6 song mini album. And if they continue down this road, we'll see if I become a Tex fan as well. I know none of their names. I will see what happens in the future. Then in other news, this is all Hive related news apparently. In other news, Psy and Sugar with that they debuted at number 80 on the Billboard Hot 100, which is really good for them. Or was it it was one of them. I think it was Hot 100.
It was 80 something there, and it was 2 in the world.
Yeah, 2 on the global charts. Screw you, Harry Styles. Get off the charts so that Sugar and Psy can be number 1. We don't need you there.
As it was.
Oh no, calm down, sir. Calm down, please.
I hate this song.
Just another update on the workout BTS thing. They did lower body workouts this week. I didn't do it. They were doing squats and lunges. And I'm like, I do squats and lunges already. But if you are a beginner and you want to work out and you want to be motivated by BTS working out, I still say go and do it. Go and try and see how it feels. Sorry about that. Next up, the thing that you have all been waiting for, maybe, maybe not. BTS's Proof album's track list came out this week. It was a 3-day situation because it's a 3-CD album. And let's get into it. So a lot of people were hyped because on CD1, Born Singer, which is a song that they released pre-debut on like SoundCloud and YouTube, where they covered, what was it, Born Sinner by J. Cole, did their little spin on it. That's actually going to be there. So we'll get a studio version of that. Then we've got other tracks such as No More Dream, No, Boy in Love, Danger, I Need You, Run, Fire, Blood, Sweat, Tears.
You don't have to run down these leaves. It's 3 new songs. Everything else you've heard a billion times.
I was coming to an end there. The hits. Track CD1 is the hits. Okay. And then Yet to Come again. I'm excited about that new track off of that
CD. Oh my gosh. 3 songs.
The second new song is called Run BTS or Run Bangtan. And if you know, BTS has a variety show where they go and they do all types of assorted things. Hilarious. If you haven't seen it, I don't care. See it, I guess. Maybe not. I don't know. But the second...
what an advocate you are.
I can't tell you what to do. The second track or the second CD is consisted of solos, group duets, where there's like rap line or the vocalists, basically the best of not completely all BTS, best fragments of BTS. We got songs like Dimple making a comeback. Might get to see that live. I'm excited about that. Same thing with Friends with Jimin and V. Love that song. So yeah, we'll get a lot of things solo and group and duet wise on the second CD. And then the third CD caused a lot of controversy because it is CD only. You will not be able to find most of these songs on any major streaming platform. Most of them may already be on SoundCloud, but you will not be able to find them on Spotify, on Apple Music, those groups of things. DSPs, that's the word I was looking for. You won't be able to find these songs on those DSPs. They're demo versions. They do have the additional third song called For Youth that will be on DSPs. But the internet was hot. They're like, no, I want to get Tony Montana with Jimin on my DSPs. Well, suck it up. It's not going to happen. You will get the CD. If you want, if you didn't pre-order the album, I'm sorry. I didn't either. And I'm still not. It's not worth, that CD is not worth me pre-ordering it when I have all these songs already. I sound like a terrible advocate. I am sorry, but I'm not sorry. It's just the truth. I'm only here to speak the truth. But third, like I said, third CD is just demos and the preview version before, you know, you got all of the zhushing it up from the producers and the editors and all of that other stuff that it takes to make a track. That is it. That is my reaction. Am I hyped up for this? No. No, I am not. I have all of these songs already, like I said. I don't particularly, I'm not a fan that cares too much about demo tracks and how it sounds. I like what I like. And the new songs, I'm excited for those. But not enough to where I'll go pay $65 for this pre-order.
Right. I wanted to say this too, and I think this might be a bad thing for your standship, but not in reality. I mean, I just think, let's just be real. Even though you love BTS, this is still just like any other greatest hits or anthology album that they've already put out.
Yes, because again, it's not like I can't get some of these songs off SoundCloud or, you know. Like
some of that stuff you already can just find at will.
Yes, they're there.
At this point anyway.
They're there.
So whether you have it directly in your music library along with your other Spotify playlist, whatever it is, however you use DSPs, really don't matter because you never really lost access to Tony Montana. You can go watch him perform it too on YouTube.
That's the primary place where you can get it.
You know, yeah. So if you want to, you can do that. But anyway it goes, I understand the thing. I understand how fandoms are.
Yeah.
They're going to want this to be just as big as a fresh release.
Yeah, and it doesn't
and it probably will be, but I don't, it probably will be big, but it doesn't have to be, like you said, yeah. A lot of what people are getting in these from this is, like you said, stuff that we already enjoy or stuff that we already know about.
Again, I may lose my Army membership, but...
You won't.
There are things that I just don't need. I didn't like Tony Montana, the original version, so I don't need to hear Jimin on it. I told you, Born Singer is such a sad ass song. I'm not finna sit here and cry with them on this song. There's other songs that I'll shed a tear for, but it won't be that one.
Oh my goodness! But yeah, so. I get it. I get that. But yeah, is that the last marble?
That is the last marble. And the song is still not released. I watched them do some stuff. I still want to download it. I pre-ordered on my phone and my iPad. Have I gone too far? Definitely. Will I go further? I will find a way. Mo out.
Alrighty. Well, I'm very, very excited to share this show with you guys. I'm just excited that I got a chance to talk about a lot of the things that we got a chance to talk about. The rumors still run long. I'm going to have to do... I'll be wanting to give you guys unfiltered reactions, but I'm probably going to have to start reading those. the only reason why I say that is because they lead to be doing a lot of editing, but that is part of the job, guys. So don't worry about it. I'm going to continue to give you guys what you want, what you need. Thank you guys for listening every week. We've been here. It's May 13th. So at least for 5 months now, we have not missed a show. Pop. Thank you. Oh, God. You look loud. Thanks for the pop, guys. Thanks for the pop. So we're doing great. Consistent. And I hope to remain consistent. And I hope to do a little bit more also. So I appreciate you guys for listening. You already know how I'm finishing this one. I'm going to say it in two languages. Au revoir. Adios.